If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to 100 Words or Less, the podcast. I am your host, Ray Harkins, and we are sitting here at episode number 22, which I was thinking, it's pretty close to being 24 hours worth of content that you can consume if you were to listen to these podcasts straight through, which I do not recommend to anybody, but that's pretty insane. So, anyways. Our guest on this week is Mr. Matt Pike from the Kenmore Agency, and more on him in a minute.
So we have a special announcement. I'm pretty excited to announce that we actually have a new web partner. Punk News was awesome, but there's a site out there called Property of Zach. You can visit it at propertyofzach.com. It's done by a dude named Zach. What a stretch, I understand. But yeah, he's been running a great site for the past few years, something that I stumbled across, I don't know, about a year and a half ago. And, you know, what kind of sets him apart from a lot of the other different news sites that are out there, he has a lot of interviews and sort of editorial stuff, whether it's like bands contributing like tour blogs and sort of, you know, more behind the scenes stuff. Zach really tries to get to the meat of the issue, whatever the issue may be. He also reports on a lot of the news that comes across in press releases and stuff. But I was kind of excited to talk to him about partnering up with the show in order to be the main online presenter, aka he will post news for us and spread the word of the show, and in turn I will spread the word for his awesome website. So go to propertyofzach.com and you'll be able to check out all the latest news and reviews. And he's got cool merch up there. And just got a really good thing going. So I'm excited about this new partnership. We got some great ideas for fun stuff in the future. He may bring to the table some guests that I wasn't thinking of, and vice versa, you know. So if you found out about the show through Property of Zach, let me know. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all that other good stuff. So,
Another thing, business out of the way first. Please review the show. There's two things you can do. One, you can take about maybe three minutes out of your day. Go on iTunes, type a sentence or two on the show, what you like, what you don't like, preferably what you do like, and then leave the review there. If you don't want to do that, you can simply click on the 5-star rating that's at top, up top of the page or whatever. Anyways, you can click on that, and the more ratings that we get, the easier it is for people to find on iTunes and just makes us look cooler in general. So if you would mind doing that, I am sort of obsessively compulsed with watching what people write about that and also how many stars people give, or how many reviews people have clicked. So I do pay attention to that. So if you do leave something, I will read that. I guarantee it. You can also visit the website, 100wordspodcast.com, and you can find recommendations, movies, music, kind of whatever I've been doing recently. And some people enjoy that, and they find value in some way, shape, or form. But above all, it's just a forum where we can kind of share what we've been into. And if it's a Tumblr thing that you do, you can interact with it that way. You can follow it, ask questions, whatever. So check it out. Anyways, wanted to get into one more thing before we delved into the intro of the guest and what have you. So we're sitting here a few days after Labor Day / the Republican National Convention. And, we are ramping up to an election year, and this could be dating it. So if you are listening to this in 2018, this is 2012, and you guys probably... No, you'll care who got elected president. But in any way, I can't talk sometimes. I apologize. I'll just keep on pushing through. At any rate, it blows my mind how divisive this particular election seems. It seems like you either have to be so left-wing and support Barack Obama... And if you do support him, you are considered extremely left-wing, even though a lot of his views are definitely more towards the middle. And if you don't like him, you swing to the complete opposite side, to the right-wing sort of, Fox News archetype, like whatever opinion you have of that type of stuff. But I don't know. It just – it frustrates me. It bums me out. I just can't wrap my head around it because I feel like – because we're essentially at two complete opposite sides, like obviously how will that make it easier for anybody to work together with one another? And it's just, yeah, I get scared because obviously this is the way that our country and culture is being shaped by the public discourse. And I feel that a lot of that gets lost in the sort of, television ratings and the idea that each individual candidate has to mobilize their base. Like, that word is just absolutely terrifying. But in any event, vote. Above all, you should give a shit about what's happening in the world, because after all, if we that are involved in independent culture don't feel like we have a voice, there is one thing that you can do that obviously does have an impact, and that is vote. People that have told me in the past they don't vote because it's, a conscientious objector. I personally don't understand that or get that. Just cast a vote. It takes, 10 minutes of your day, if that. And then that way, I feel like you truly do have a leg to stand on when you're talking about things in the political realm. So there you go. There's my punkvoter.com or whatever plug that I wanted to get out there just because it was on my mind. Anyways, on with the show. Matt Pike is the owner, CEO, head booking agent guy of the Kenmore Agency, or the founder. That's probably a better way to describe him. The Kenmore Agency probably books some of your favorite bands or bands that you've been fans of in the past, whatever. He's a very large presence within the independent music community. These days, he books Converge, Bane, Touche Amore. This is all like under his umbrella. Previous guest, La Dispute, book his band. But yes, he is in my estimation, a pioneer within sort of the independent booking community. As you'll come to know in the interview, you'll see that he did work at a different booking agency and then kind of started to try things on his own, and that's how the Kenmore agency started. But a lot of people don't realize, like, when bands come to play your town, there obviously has to be a person that is making that happen, not even just from the band getting from point A to point B, but then a person who is responsible for taking care of all of the negotiations, how much the band is getting paid, all that type of stuff. And at this day and age, it's almost more important for a band to have a booking agent more so than it is a record label, with obviously how easily accessible the internet is for anybody that is interested in spreading their music. But I'll let Matt do a lot of the talking, because obviously he will tell his story much better than I will, and that is why he is on and I am not interviewing myself for him. Makes no sense. Anyways, I went to his office, his newly relocated office from the East Coast out here to California, and this is what transpired over a beautiful Monday morning, I want to say. So, hope you enjoy. Thank you.
It was like, you know, I started playing and taping, it was like 96, 97.
Yeah.
And it was...
I remember the name. I remember the memory was terrible, dude.
Right, yeah. And I don't, for whatever reason, I don't think we actually popped on any tours that you did. Maybe it was like here and there.
I feel like you played shows.
Yeah.
For sure.
100%.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things, like, as I, because I sang for the band, and it seems to be that when you're the singer of a band, you're like,
you know,
the default
business guy. Yeah. You know, you're probably the fucking weirdest dude in the band.
Totally. That's just the way it works. But the, so I just remember as I started to get like the business aspect of it, I just remember you were literally the first like agent or agency that I was like aware of. Like, yeah. You know, whatever, agency group and all those other things were just like, it just didn't make sense to me. And like, I didn't even, that wasn't even part of my purview, but I was just like, oh, the Kenmore agency. I was like, basically that was like the coup de grace of like, holy shit. Like,
now look at us.
Right. But like,
what happened to us?
Yeah. Yeah. You're just
bald and, you know,
just getting old. And yeah. Yeah. But
I used to have a six pack. Now I have a fucking keg, you know, Jesus Christ.
But the, just the idea of like, you know, unwrapping the fact, cause you know, there wasn't back in that time.
No, we can talk about all that too, because to me it's a mystery.
Right. And there wasn't a lot of like independent agents that were doing what you were doing. Like they were, it was either.
Well, it's funny you say that, because there were a lot more.
Right.
And then as things changed, those people started getting bought up.
Totally.
I've had many chances to do that.
We will get around to that.
I have hand tattoos. So
yeah. That's good. But so I just, yeah, like I said, I remember that being like the one of these days that might be awesome to work with the Kenmore agency or whatever. And so it was, did you have like an impression as things started to, you know, like the mid to late 90s, as things started to, you know, grow for you? As
are we
a company,
going now, by the way?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. We're in it.
We're already in.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
So as, like, did you get the impression that it was just like, oh, wow, like all of a sudden you started to receive a stupid amount of demos and people hitting you up left and right? And, you know, kind of, when did you feel that the business became real for you?
So, yeah, I don't know, because I never really had like crazy aspirations, because I mean, essentially, like, let's rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I was just a kid putting on shows, hanging out with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing led to another, and certain people were introduced to me and they became my circle of friends, and
right,
they just happened to be in good bands.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I remember, you know, and this is back when we traveled a lot to go to shows.
Of course.
Being on the East Coast, I mean, you could go, you know,
you're within a few hours of
every major city on the East Coast.
Totally.
You know, unlike the West Coast where it's like,
yeah.
Oh, hey.
You've got San Diego and you've got, yeah.
Yeah.
You drive to Vegas 4 hours.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, waking up on a Saturday morning going, oh, hey, there was a festival in Long Island this weekend from Boston.
Right.
You know, that was a quick,
yeah.
You know, 5 hour drive. And, you know, you ended up, you know, at the PWAC in Long Island seeing Earth Crisis and Mouthpiece and VOD and whoever,
sure,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Like, and I remember there was a particular like festival that was happening, and a couple of friends of mine from Massachusetts and I went.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that show, like, I wish I could remember names and faces.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's just, you know,
they all blend in.
I don't even remember my own kids' names sometimes. You know, a mutual friend was like, hey, you're from Massachusetts, right? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, a friend of mine is stranded here. He lives in Massachusetts too. Can you bring him home?
Yeah.
And sure.
That happened back then.
That's what we did. Right. Totally. That's, you know, oh, hey, you're into like hardcore and right. Oh yeah, me too. We're friends now.
Of course.
And it just happened to be like Aaron who played in Converge and Bane. And that was like my first introduction to him.
Right.
And like we became buddies.
Sure.
And, you know, Converge just happened to be playing like in Connecticut like the next weekend. And like we went down and later, like, you know, a couple months later, he's like, hey, we're going on tour. Do you want to come?
Yeah.
And I remember like being like, sure. Like,
sure. Why not?
And at that time, tour was, you know, borrowing your mom's Astro van and your friend's station wagon and loading up as many of your friends and going to play houses up and down the East Coast.
The caravan tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember going to, you know, the drummer's house at the time and standing in the driveway and like the guys in the band like, oh, who are you? I'm like, I'm
this guy.
Yeah, I'm this guy. I'm hanging out with him and we're going to go on tour for the next few days. So nice to meet you.
Yeah.
You know, and here it is 20 years later. I've been booking him for 20 years or whatever.
I know. You're just like, that's so,
you know, and that's legitimately how it happened. And like, you know, like I think it was like two summers into it where I was comfortable enough being like, guys, like there has to be a better way of doing this, you know, like, and it's funny because, you know, just moving here from the East Coast.
Right.
I packed up my whole life or whatever, and I found like some of those artifacts.
From,
I found like my notebook from like 94, 95.
Wow.
Where I remember traveling and carrying this one notebook.
Of course.
And we'd go to record stores and, you know, like flyers actually had kids' numbers and stuff on them.
Yeah,
and I would write down like Sean, Charleston, South Carolina, blah, 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 blah.
Dude.
And that incredible. Would be the dude to call like when we wanted a show.
Yeah.
And like that's like kind of how it started. And I remember like sitting with Converge and being like, guys, there has to be a better way to do this. Let me book your next. Let me figure out how to book your next tour. And that was like 96 or 97.
Okay.
And we did the whole country, and it was just like this.
See, you basically like worked like in conjunction with them. You're like, guys, has to be a better way.
Yeah.
Like, this. Let's put this together. I will do most of the organizational work. Yep. Let's try.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they had some contacts from friends, and you know, I mean, and again, like. It was back when, like, oh, hey, Boy Sits Fire is from Delaware. Let's call them for a show. Let's call Dave Mandel in Southern California.
Yeah.
He can hook us up.
He'll hook it up. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, oh, Rob Moran's in San Diego. Well, he has a place for us to play.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's, like, how it worked. And, like, you know, like, those guys had friends and bands. And, like, it was just, like, this sharing of information. Like, there was no internet. I mean, I didn't have my first email address till I was in college.
Right.
You know, and that was 1943,
right.
I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. The advent of the internet, basically.
Right,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I remember it being, like, you know, 72 characters long.
Of course.
Know,
like, well, no one would ever remember it.
Exactly. And, like, I mean, you know, there was no cell phones. I mean, so it's, like, everything I had to do, like, I had to, like...
Pen and paper, right.
Absolutely.
Just,
and, like,
totally.
Pay phones and, like, gnarly shit, you know? So it was, like... You know, and through, like, the invention of, like, figuring this out,
yeah,
you know, and thankfully Converge, like, I mean, Converge, like, gave me a career, in a sense.
Right.
You know,
that,
I mean,
that is,
but
that
we didn't look at it like that. We didn't
I mean,
you ask any of those guys in 1996 or whatever, I don't think any of them would
yeah.
you know, be like, oh, yeah, we're going to be doing this in 2012.
Yeah.
We're going to
be,
you know, because in 2012, we were supposed to be flying on, like, you know, flying cars and stuff like that.
Right,
know?
Exactly. It was Back to the Future 2
yeah,
style.
Exactly, you know, so it was like, I mean, and it was one of those things. It was through that music scene that, like, I kind of got introduced to everyone else. Like, you know, Aaron started Bane. So he's like, hey, why don't you book a Bane tour?
Yeah.
Steve was in Cave-In. So he's like, book a Cave-In tour.
Sure.
And then it was like, you know, like Overcast was a popular, like, you know, metal death kind of weird
band
from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And they're like, book us a tour. And we're going to go on tour with Disembodied.
And
so,
Shai Hulud?
Yeah.
I remember,
you know,
that.
Yeah. So it was like. I mean, and it was just like, dude, if you ask any of those guys, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I didn't know what it was. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing.
No, yeah,
I legitimately was like, hey, man, I'm going to call these people because they did something for me in the past and blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah. And it wasn't until maybe like, you know, maybe it was, I mean, I look at some of the bands, like some of the early tours that we did,
uh-huh.
you know, I mean, dude, like we did stuff for like Isis and Jesuit
right.
and Botch and Saves the Day and Fast
yep.
Break and like. you know, I mean, none of those, I never was like, I'm a booking agency. Right. I'm not a booking
agency. Sign a contract
no,
with me.
I mean,
yeah,
dude, I mean, it's 2012. I've never had a band sign a contract. Are you kidding me? That's retarded, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, can you say retarded?
You can totally say, yeah. I don't
know if that's offensive or not.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
But I'm from the East Coast, remember? but you know what I mean? It was just like, it was just like this thing. We used the people around us to like kind of
get yourself out there.
Exactly. And it was like, I mean, I've never once was like, I'm going to start this business entity. Like, I'm going to be this big wig, you know,
right,
in my corner office. I mean, I never had those things. I mean, I just didn't want to work for anybody else.
Right.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken. And I wish that I would be able to like get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/Ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Ray.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Yeah. It was just one of those things. Your experience is so symptomatic of what so many people feel, where it's like, you don't set these huge goals, but it's like, you know, like bands back then where it's like mid-90s, where it's like, you know, I just want to put out a demo. Yeah. Okay. Next step. I want to play outside of my own city. And then it's like, you just take these things like incrementally, as opposed to, all right, here's this lofty goal. Like you may have that in the back of your mind, but you're not,
yeah,
that isn't where it's like, I mean, I need to be there.
Half the time you can have those ideas, but the execution is just not there.
Totally.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
It is the reality. Yeah.
And I'm amazed sometimes. I mean, because it's just like, it's like, here it is, how many years later?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still learning new things. I mean, I'd be
sure.
I mean, I'd be dead if I didn't, you know,
adapt care. Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I mean, I have to say, at first, it was a thing where I only was going to do things for my friends, you know, because that's just how we wanted it to be or whatever.
Sure.
You know,
and people that were readily like, in, like you said, in your network, where it's like, oh, I don't know you.
I mean,
so,
you know, it's like, you know. And it's not like it was like paying the bills.
Right.
You know, I mean, I remember like, I had no concept of like, how to have a band pay you. Like, I remember being like, oh yeah, you want a tour for 4 weeks? Yeah, just give me $100. You know, I'll do it for $100. $100, that's so much money.
That
you know?
Like, yeah, you I know, can get like 10 meals off that.
Yeah, straight up, dude. It was better than stealing records and going to sell them, you know? Like, I mean,
we
could do to fucking make money, you know?
Sure, just
like,
sure.
I mean, you know, and it's like, and the other thing too for me was like, oh, you're going to let me travel with you across the country?
Right, okay.
And pay me $100? Oh,
yeah.
My God. Like,
right.
This is like, I've died and gone to heaven.
Right,
here,
how does not everybody fall into this?
Yeah. I mean, and so essentially, I mean, you know, not to romanticize it or whatever, but like,
right.
It was like, dude, I'm hanging out with my buds, you know, like,
yep.
Like we're just hanging out in the middle of South Dakota, climbing mountains, like,
right.
Oh, we'll go play a punk show in a garage, sure.
Sure.
You know?
Have adventures.
Exactly. And that's all it was, you know, and that's all I cared about was like, you know, meeting people, hanging out and like, just like not being in Massachusetts. That's
right.
What, I mean, that's what it came down to. You
right,
know? Like,
right, right.
And,
so did you sort of backing things
yeah,
up
for it.
The, born and raised on the East Coast, Boston area,
well, Western Massachusetts, like,
okay.
Kind of like, you know, in the Springfield, Northampton area.
Okay. Yeah.
Closer to Hartford, Connecticut and Albany, New York.
Got it.
I mean, but that was the cool thing about growing up there is like, you know, being in Western Massachusetts, I was 2 hours to Boston, an hour and a half to Albany,
sure,
an hour and a half to New Haven, Connecticut, 3 hours to New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, and even a little
centrally located. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we saw everything.
Right.
You know, so it was like.
What did your parents do for a living? And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two brothers, one older, one younger.
Okay.
And, you know, my parents are still married, like, you know, 140 years, I think.
That's impressive.
No, they're cool.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, and, I mean, you know, and it's like, you know, my dad, like, still works 2-3 jobs.
Sure.
You know. Just,
he's a hustler.
Yeah, just, I mean, he's, you know, he came from a big family.
Okay.
And so it was like, that was just his, you know, by no means, like, you know, he just did whatever he could do to help us, you know,
sure.
Advance in the world. You
right,
know?
Right,
so,
right.
And
right.
It's like, I look at a lot of the things that my parents did for us, and it's just like, man, you know, they sacrificed a lot,
sure.
You know, for my brothers and I.
Of course.
You know, and it's like, you know, they still live in the same house, you know, and
she
could be Massachusetts.
That's
and
awesome.
You know, my mom's worked for, you know, she worked for like a nursing home for like 30 years. Or
okay.
Whatever, you know.
Sure, sure.
She's just a saint of a woman. Where I came from, I don't know. You know?
So, you're like, how did I learn this?
Yeah. You know, and it's weird because like, you know, both my brothers still live close to home. You know,
uh-huh.
They have their families. They do their thing.
Sure.
And, you know, I think like in the back of their heads, they're like, dude, that kid is
where
did I come from? You know?
Where, yeah. Did he, was it the mailman?
Did he get dropped on his head? Like, I don't, you know, where did he come from? Because I've always been like, I mean, you know, when I was 18, I was like, I got to get out of here.
Right. You felt the itch.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You know, and not to discredit what they want to do, because God bless, everyone's life is their own, you know?
Totally.
But I mean, I just knew like, I mean, like I went to a Catholic high school because it was in a different town than the town I lived in. You know, not that I wanted to go to Catholic high school, but I knew like, I mean, like
you wanted to broaden your worldview.
Yeah, I wanted to get out of Chicopee.
Sure,
like it was
sure.
Like, I was like, my parents literally lived like 2 blocks from the high school. So my world would have been 2 blocks.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like,
that's really, it's funny because it sounds like, I mean, it total like, small town mentality where it's like, you know, some people, like you said, are just totally content being like, yo, I'll hang out here and that's fine. And, but you were, when did you start to feel that itch where you were like, yo, I think there's more outside of these 2 blocks, like you're saying.
I mean, honestly, like I can't necessarily pinpoint it,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
But I know like, I always was like an adventurous kid.
Sure.
You know, and maybe it was like sixth grade when I, you know, when I saw Judas Priest Screaming for Vengeance LP. I think that's like what kind of when my world was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And like, I remember
started to break open.
I was at the Aldenville Public Library and I stole that record.
Really?
So I'm sorry for taking it.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just loved it. Like the record, the album cover was, I was like, what the hell is right. this?
And the idea, and so it's so funny that you mentioned like records from libraries because people don't understand that concept. Yeah, libraries, people are like, what?
I mean, dude, going and getting the record, taking it home and getting your Fisher Price and recording it to your boombox, you know, like.
It's, dude, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, my older brother, like, doesn't know this, but I mean, he listened to like different things.
Sure.
You know, like my parents listened to like Top 40 and like talk radio and like,
right.
you know,
like whatever was Broadway, on, was on. Whatever. Sure, sure.
You know, I was just like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, I just listened to Barry Manilow. Holy shit, yeah. I can't do this again. You know, and like, I remember my older brother listening to like Led Zeppelin and like Black Sabbath and stuff like that. And
sure.
A
little darker stuff that was okay.
And, you know, and I was like, oh man, this shit's rad. And like, and somehow that correlated into like finding like Thrasher magazine. It's a typical story. You know what I mean? Back then there wasn't, you know, this vast world to go.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, it was Thrasher magazine, you know, you could send away and get the, like, Thrasher mixtape or the Power Mad record for free.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh. And much like, you know, I'm sure you did this too. Like, you would buy your favorite record and go through the thanks list and be like, totally. Oh, I got to check these bands out.
100%.
It was the same thing with, like, Thrasher. Like, yep. You saw a dude wearing a Circle Jerk shirt or a Black Flag t-shirt. Right. And you're like, what is that?
Sign me up.
I have to go find this. Totally. And, like, I mean, and again, like, dude, it was like, it wasn't like, you know, I was in sixth grade, seventh grade in, right. you know, Chicopee, Massachusetts, you know, like, it's not like there was
not the hotbed of culture.
No, not at all, man. And it was like, you know, and it wasn't until like, you know, my freshman year of high school and mm-hmm. like, dude, honestly, going to that high school,
yeah.
like opened me up to like this world. And I went to like my first show, like my freshman year with like, you know, and it was like, it was a small school. I graduated with like 89 kids.
Oh, wow. That's really
you know?
Small.
And
yeah.
like, you know, I was like, I wore BMX and I skated and like, you know, I wore flannels and Chuck Taylors and like.
So you were kind of the alternative kid.
But
in
yeah,
high
I
school?
Played sports, you know, and okay. I was like, I wanted to be everyone's friend, you know, like I didn't care.
Yeah,
I didn't
care.
But like, you know, and again, like it was me and like four other people uh-huh. from my town that went to this school and like I knew them and it was like me and three girls, you know, I went to like grade school with.
Sure, sure.
And I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just like, whatever, man, I'll just hang out with anyone. I don't care.
Right. You know? You're like, because you wanted to have that wider experience,
yeah.
you probably approached high school with a different mentality of like, let's just see what's out there.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, you know.
So you enjoy, like, did you, your high school experience, you obviously enjoyed
really,
to a certain extent?
I mean, it was what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hate it. I didn't, you know.
Did you do all the dances?
I mean, because I thought that's what you were supposed to do for sure. I remember, like,
right.
you know, the first, like, you know, like, it was like the big, like, maybe like a month into your freshman year.
Right.
Like, you know, the girls ask you to the dance or
yeah.
whatever that
Sadie
was.
Sadie Hawkins dance,
I remember
maybe?
I kissed a girl. I was like, oh, man, I'm stoked. The high school is fucking rad.
Yeah, you're like, this is
like making out with chicks, listening to, you know,
amazing
cool music,
records. Yeah.
You know, like, this is great. You know, like,
right.
I mean, because at that point, I'd already started listening to, like, I mean, I was like I was in the metal. Like, I mean, Guns N' Roses was like the band, you
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I loved like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath and like,
sure.
you know, I had like, I was predisposed to like just punk stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like.
You're already open to that.
I was open yeah. to it, but I mean, you know, my world was like, okay, I know who Ozzy Osbourne is. I know who Axl Rose is.
Sure.
Iron Maiden's the greatest thing in the world. You know, this Black Flag thing has cool t-shirts, you know, like the Ramones were a band I was aware of. And like, I think maybe like Social Distortion, you know, like,
right.
because it was accessible stuff.
Sure.
I mean, I remember listening to like Agnostic Front and Bad Brains for the first time going, I don't understand this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that was probably like my freshman year of high school. Like
sure.
I had like this friend and like, he had this gnarly green car. It was the first friend I had that had a license and we'd go to Enfield, Connecticut and like buy records.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll buy records. I don't have
right.
a record player, but they
yeah,
look
like,
cool, you know?
Right, like, this is what I'm supposed to do here.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, it wasn't until like maybe like my like sophomore or freshman, my sophomore or junior year that like I really explode. Like I'm like fully fledged into like this music scene.
Right.
Like I'm going to see like Born Against and like.
Oh, nice.
You know, I mean, I remember like there was like this Grange Hall, like
uh-huh.
this hall in the middle of Greenfield, Massachusetts, like near Vermont.
Okay.
I remember there was one show where it was like, it was, and like the thing about living in Western Mass too is like we were in the middle of everything.
Right.
So if you were a band traveling, you had to go through there to like get to the next place. So
sure.
it's like we saw some fucking incredible bands without realizing it.
Right.
I saw Green Day open for, you know, Bikini Kill and Nation of Ulysses at this Grange Hall with
it's
like
incredible.
75 kids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know.
Yeah, in retrospect, you're just like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I remember, you know, there was like in East Hampton, Massachusetts, there was like this old porno theater that like, you know, they did shows. And I remember like running there to go see like Supertouch and Farside and Shelter in my baseball uniform. Then I have to go to this.
Yeah.
Because everyone I know is going to this show and let's go to the show. And like, yeah.
You yeah.
know, like, but at the same time, I mean, then you like started to realize, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of bands like this that are playing locally and they're awesome.
Right.
You know? And it's like, there was like some really incredible local bands, you know, like
yeah.
that, you know,
did you ever have like with the, you know, the scene that was kind of growing up around there, did you have, cause usually people have the desire to like, yo, I want to play in a band.
Yeah.
Like once you, like, did you,
like, I don't think it was my, it wasn't until like my freshman year of college
mm-hmm.
that we started a band.
Okay.
Like, and my friend Mike, who was like a pretty big local, like kind of guy, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
like
scene celebrity in a
yeah,
way.
Like, yeah, and like the college radio. She was older. He had a college radio show. He booked shows and like
very involved.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, dude, my first band
yes
was with a skinhead drummer.
Okay.
My friend Mike.
Sure.
Matt, who plays guitar for Shadows Fall.
Oh, nice.
And Adam D from Killswitch.
From Killswitch.
Yeah.
What was the name of this band?
The name of the band was Hand Over Fist.
That's not bad.
No. All right. Remember the movie Tombstone?
Of course.
All right. So there's a line in that movie where they're like, we're taking over this town hand over fist. And I was like, fuck right, man.
That is it.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, and I remember like, I mean, dude, we were terrible. Like, I mean, you know, it was like an amalgamation of like every kind of, you know, I mean, dude.
Yeah.
I had like, you know, death metal Matt playing guitar.
Right, right, right.
Adam like jazz drummer. Like,
right.
You know.
It was like this total hodgepodge.
He played guitar. Adam did. He played guitar.
Yeah. What'd you do?
I sang.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Mike played bass, and the kid Mike played drums. And I'm the skinhead kid playing four on the floor. You know, and Matt. You know,
right.
Like, I was like, yeah, let's try to sound like Overcast and Only Living Witness, who is the greatest band of all time,
of course.
And you know, and it's like I couldn't sing. I mean,
I
don't know. What
well, especially if you're trying to emulate Only Living Witness, clearly a very talented vocalist.
Oh God.
That's
you know,
amazing.
But it was just like, I mean, we played, you know, we played a handful of shows. I mean, a lot, actually, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, we played in Connecticut. We played, you know,
sure.
Western Mass. We played in upstate New York. We played in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Like, were you kind of like we were talking about earlier, the singer, the default business guy?
Yeah. But I mean, I think like collectively, again, because my friend Mike was like, you know, someone who booked a lot of shows, it just...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it was fun. It was just, it wasn't, you know, we never recorded anything.
Right, right.
You know, but, you know, we got to play with some cool bands. We got to open up for Life of Agony, which was awesome.
Oh, that's incredible.
You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, and, you know.
Like, you had enough experience with the first band to be like, this was cool. Like,
yeah,
this was a joy.
At the same time, it was like, ah, oh, it sucks when no one likes you. You know?
Like, you're like,
what are we doing?
Yeah, this gets a little tiresome after a while.
Yeah, but it, I mean, you know, it was interesting. It was fun. It was like enough just to like wet the whistle. Like, I never had any real desire to be like, you know, band guy. You know,
right,
I just
wanted
to hang out with my friends. And I mean, essentially, that's all it boiled down to.
Yeah.
It's like, what can I do to hang out with my friends more?
Right. How can I prolong this activity?
Yeah.
Because I imagine like, were you a good student in high school? Like,
no,
did you have?
Fuck no! Are you kidding?
I had a feeling. I don't want to assume anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think like again, I said, you know, my class was like 89. I think I graduated 80th. You know, it was just like I didn't care.
Right.
Like, I mean, my whole high school experience was just seeking experience, like seeking like just what was out there. Like I said, I played sports. I mean, I like. You know, I wanted to play baseball.
Okay.
You know,
baseball
was my thing. And I still am a huge sports fan. And
sure.
it's like with anything, I think if I applied myself, I could have done a lot more. And everyone, they always say, oh, if you just applied yourself,
right.
You know, like.
Yeah. The cliched statement. What does that mean? Yeah.
What does that even fucking mean, dude? Just let me play ball. You know?
Right, right, right.
And
I can't concern myself with this applying yourself.
Yeah.
Business.
Yeah. I mean, I loved history and sports.
Yeah.
And that's
all
I cared about.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like everything else could just literally go fuck
just,
itself.
Yeah, just
get out of my face. With this
get
shit,
out of here.
You know?
This is a waste of time.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So I presume with that, you had no desire to be like, college, I cannot
well,
wait
to
go.
I went to college and I graduated.
Okay.
You
did,
know?
Did you apply yourself a little more there?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I mean.
What'd you get your degree in?
I got my degree in arts and science, arts and communication. No, wait, what? Radio and communication.
Oh, got it.
Radio and communication. You know, college, I think, is like, was again, you know, like I went to a small town school, you know.
What was the name of the college?
Holyoke Community College.
Okay.
Harvard on the Hill, we called it. But again, it was like, it was such a melting pot.
Right.
And again, it was just like another extension of like, oh, here is a whole new group of people to meet.
Right.
And like, you know, and I got into like, you know, college radio and immediately I was like, I have to run the radio station.
Nice.
And so I ran the radio station and like,
so you're like the programmer and like,
yeah, I was the metal director and general manager.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is when college radio was like
legitimate.
Actually
yeah.
Right.
And
like it really meant something.
You like, I mean, like being involved in college radio in like the late '90s, like winning the fucking lottery. Dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
like free tickets, free records, like you
yeah.
got to meet everyone. And it was just like, oh, and again, living in Western Mass, it was, I mean, the other thing about Western Mass is like, there's like five big colleges,
right.
You know, like, and it was like, it was such a melting pot. Like UMass Amherst was
sure.
like down the street, you know, like,
huge
yeah,
school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Smith College, Hampshire College, like all these, like Mount Holyoke, all these real schools
right.
were right there. So it was like, it wasn't like, you know, it was like a hick town or anything. I mean, there was a lot of culture happening,
right.
You know, like Northampton, Mass was like, you know, the cultural revolution, the lesbian capital of East Coast.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
And with that comes a lot of like art and a lot of like just really like forward thinking things.
Sure.
Which
course.
Was exciting, you know, but it still wasn't enough for me, you know?
Right. You're like, yeah, I know that there, I'm experiencing a lot, but I know that there's still more out there.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it was like, you know, in college is when I started like, all right, I'm going to start booking some local shows
okay.
and, you know, like hang out at the local club more.
Sure.
And it was cool because like, you know, I still work with some of those guys today.
That's amazing.
In some facet, you know?
Right, right.
And
what was the first show that you booked that you can actively remember?
Oh God, I don't know. I remember, hold on.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was like, cause I did like, you know, everyone did fanzines and all
of
that
course,
stuff.
Of
so,
course.
You know, like, you know, and my friend Mike did, you know, that remember that 666 clothing, straight edge clothing line?
100%. Yeah, of
so,
course.
So, like, we were doing, like, a joint show.
Oh, nice.
And it was, like, some local bands and Burst of Silence.
Of course.
And Frail.
Of course.
And everyone canceled. And, like.
That's incredible.
And, you know, like remember, you remember the name Third Age, that band Third Age?
I actually don't remember that band.
They were like
a
New England type band. They were like, you know,
got
they
it.
Put out a couple 7-inches and a couple records. So
got
they
it.
Ended up headlining and like,
right.
you know, Ryan.
Default headliner.
Yeah, Ryan, who played bass for that band, was later in my other band, Some Kind of Hate, you know? And he's like, you know, he's like my best friend. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Stuff, but like, just, again, years later.
Right.
You know.
So
was
that,
cool.
that was kind of the first, that was the
Dude,
first
we did like a vegan potluck and like, oh, let's be hippies and, you know, save the world. You know,
right.
Come on a hardcore show. I mean,
sure.
I mean, you know, and again, I helped like on the local club level too. And like,
yeah,
but it wasn't just like hardcore and punk stuff. Like, you know,
sure.
It was like, you know, I'm like working stage for like De La Soul and Tribe Called Quest and like, you know,
right.
Like just like, you know, be just involved any way I can.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And
just to get those experiences,
yeah,
even
yeah.
though they're not musically like what you were involved in at the time.
No,
just
but yeah, I got an idea of how it all worked. You know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, you know, handing out flyers, like, you know, finding local bands to play, like some of the bigger shows, like all
sure.
that stuff. You know what I mean?
Kind of the tricks of the trade, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and through that too, I mean, think about the people that you come across and the people that you meet and, you know, and it's like, you know, fast forward many years later, like, you know, I remember, you know, in 2006, we did those Gorilla Biscuits reunion shows.
Of course, yeah.
And my relationship with Civ started back in college radio because I was a, this is, you know, I mean, he
yeah.
was doing Civ.
Of course.
And I was.
Needed that support for the record.
Well,
right.
I worked like the college program for Atlantic Records.
Oh, okay.
And I got to work some really cool records, like, you know, locally in the Civ record, you know, like
sure.
Orange 9mm, you
yeah,
know, Bad
yeah.
Religion, all that stuff.
Sure.
I remember I drove Jewel around before she was big, you know, like it was crazy. Tori Amos called my house to thank me for working. And I was like, oh my God, I love you. You have red hair. I love you so much.
This
you know?
Is incredible.
But like, you know, and it was just funny that like, you know, like that years later, like, you know, we hadn't talked to each other for years.
Right.
But like, there was like this thing.
Yeah.
There,
a common
like,
connection.
Oh, hey, yeah. Like,
right.
But you know, and again, you know, still some people that I deal with,
sure.
you know, on a, you know, managerial level or even promoter level, I met in
yeah.
the mid-90s through college radio.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think you hit on a really important point and something that I mean, I've experienced myself as well, where it's like you, when you do have that sort of common connection, like, you know, you can just walk right into things.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
sure.
like you and I have never spoken for longer than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Where we can just sit down with one another and have this sort of conversation because there's already that
yep.
underbed of understanding. Yeah. And then professionally, it's so much easier to work with people like that because you have that implicit trust where it's just
I mean, you're in your early 30s. I'm in my late 40s, you know, so, you know, that's kidding. But, you know, I mean, like we have like that similar experience where
right.
not to discredit, you know, like some 20-year-old kid, but like, it's just not the same.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, I
mean, whereas we, like, there are certain things that they experience that we don't.
Oh yeah.
Of course. But I mean, it's like they're, but still at the same time, it's like if they are passionate and involved with independent music, they will probably get around to having that experience just sure. in a different manner.
Yeah,
and just, we will understand.
It's just a different vehicle. It's a different animal.
Totally.
You know, it is a different animal. And I would never, totally. ever slight someone for no. their path.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's an interesting and fun ride for sure.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. You know? And yeah. you always seem to, it struck me too with like obviously the type of acts that you book that you've always had a very diverse musical taste. Do you credit that to like college radio and like kind of?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I try to be. I mean, you know, it's funny because if you came and looked at my iTunes, why are you? I mean, dude, like, you know, my musical taste, what I sit around and listen to on my day to day, you know, my day to day activities isn't necessarily the roster.
It's totally everything you book. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, dude, and I know that, you know, you have a relationship with Tommy from Between the Bear to Me.
Of course.
And, you know, that's a very special band, an interesting band to work with.
Totally.
And one of my philosophies, I mean, I've worked with that band for 10 years now, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, one of my philosophies, and any of my artists will have said, oh, man, you said this to us, you know, you can't book shows by what you listen to on your iPod.
It's true.
I mean, I'd be working at Taco Bell
right.
if that was the case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam's not calling me to book their shows.
No, they're not. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you know, and it's just like, I mean, that's not to say like I don't enjoy the bands I work for. That's not what I'm saying.
Not at all.
It's just, I mean, you have there has to be more to it than that.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And again, one of my biggest problems with this business is I'm actually a legitimate fan of music.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that gets in the way sometimes.
It totally does.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you could hand me some band that like, this band's going to sell
the next big thing,
so many
right.
tickets and you're going to make all this money. But if I'm just not feeling it, it's just like,
yeah.
Man, I don't know how to see past like that.
Right. Thing, I can't force that right. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. whatever barrier that's in your head that, yeah, I totally understand.
I mean, and dude, and you know, like I think through business, you try to take, you know, calculated risks like that.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and it's like you, and like people can tell when you're not that into it, you know,
it's true. The passion doesn't bleed all over the tape, so to speak.
Sorry, man. You know?
And so, as you mentioned, you're obviously in your late 40s, but you...
Listen, I'm 37
I know,
years
you
old,
are
man,
37. Right? Total jokes. The but obviously, like, you have a family, and you...
I do.
You... That obviously changes your perspective.
Like, oh, for sure, man.
What do you feel that it's contributed to, like, either, like, how you work professionally or just kind of, you know, change your worldview from that perspective?
Yeah. I mean, you know... God, I don't even know where to start with that.
Yeah, like, it is a lot.
I mean, I think with, you know, with like this, like the creative mind comes the creative struggle, you know?
Of course.
I mean, dude, I'm just as hypersensitive and anxiety ridden as the next guy. Like, yeah. Let's not fool anybody.
Right.
You know, and I mean, and that obviously, you know, you throw like other lives you're responsible for into that.
Totally.
It totally changes things. And it's like, especially like, I don't know how to say this without sounding weird, but like,
yeah,
I look at the world that we're in.
Of course.
And it's just like, how am I to, like, how, people can't relate to having kids.
Totally.
You know? I mean,
100%.
Like, dude, I have a 10-year-old
yeah.
and a 5-year-old.
Right.
My perspective and my view on things is so different than a 27-year-old dude living with a bunch of his friends. Yo, God bless him for being
yeah.
able to do that.
Of course.
You know, but like, you know, everyone's path is different, and it's just like,
right.
you know, like, you know, it's funny because like, I don't necessarily know if I can sit here and tell you my wife and I were like planning out a family. It's just,
oh yeah.
Happened,
yeah.
You
of
know?
Course.
Like,
of course.
You know, but I mean, it's, I mean, it changes everything.
Yeah, like, totally.
In good ways and bad ways. And, you know,
of course.
You know, it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's a, you know, the most exhilarating thing ever too.
Well, of course.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, you know, it's changed my outlook on a lot of things, you know,
sure.
and
yeah,
I don't even know, man.
No, you know? I know. There's definitely so many layers involved with it. And I think it's like, it's really interesting because it's like, we obviously work in a culture of stunted adolescence.
For sure.
And
absolutely. And that's a great point. And I'm just going to run with that for
please,
a second.
Because,
like, you know, moving from Western Massachusetts to the Boston area, like, in the, you know, late 90s or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted to live in the city. I never wanted to live in Boston. You know, my uh-huh. wife, you know, she was my girlfriend
at the time,
whatever.
Sure.
You know, I was touring with Converge a lot. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, I'm done school. She's going to continue on to school. I have to figure out what to do with my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to move to Boston with my friends. And we had we'd already been living together. And she was like, well, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know, you know. And poor girl.
Fall, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry I've done this to you for all these years.
Yeah.
You know, I got back from Converge Tour and I was like, you know, I got accepted like into Emerson University, Emerson College in Boston in like, you know, 96 or some shit. And it was like $48,000 a year.
Oh.
And I was like, what the fuck is $48,000? I couldn't even comprehend that.
Right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
You're like, yo, I just got paid $100 on tour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess I'll just go.
I'll just do 4,800 tours.
Yeah, I'll just go, you know, I'll just go work at a record store or something. Or
yeah.
I mean, I'll just steal some records and try to pay my rent, you know?
Right, right.
And so we ended up living in Salem, Mass. And like,
okay.
You know, and it was just one of those things where that's where our life started. You know, like,
yeah,
you know, from there, I moved to New York City for a few years, worked for an agency,
uh-huh.
You know, very like-minded. And I give, you know, those guys a lot of credit for helping me develop my business sense.
Okay.
That I could actually do this on my own.
What agency was it? I didn't know.
It was a company at the time called Rave.
Okay.
It turned into like Face the Music, and then those guys all went off and did their own thing.
Sure. Okay. Got it.
You know, but it was, you know, I mean, I give those guys a lot of credit for bringing me in and helping me like kind of mold.
Yeah.
You know, I already had like my stable of bands or whatever, but like,
right.
You know, at that point, you know, they gave me the opportunity to work with some bands on a much bigger level.
Sure.
You know,
sure. Like,
and
to see how the kind of the quote unquote big boys play.
Yeah,
and then you were
yeah.
able to kind of take that
yeah.
to your
you know,
own.
And then like moved back to Massachusetts and, you know, started my own thing, which
yeah.
turned into Kenmore or whatever.
Sure.
But like, you know, the North Shore of Massachusetts is very white, very puritanical, very,
yeah,
You know, it's not a cheap place to live.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was an interesting experience for sure, having kids there.
Right.
To tie it all back into the original question.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so here I am, you know, like, you know, I would bring my daughter to school. I'm barely, you know, 29 years old, 28 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a 2 or 3 year old and I'm bringing to daycare.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're a child.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I'm a man. I'm a grown ass man.
Yeah. You know? I'm doing shit.
Yeah. Like, and like the thing was, is like people there were significantly older.
Of course.
With children my kid's age. And right. I don't know if that's just the way it is everywhere now, but like,
yeah,
you know, here I am like trying to relate to like these 42 year old, 44 year old,
yeah,
even like, you know, even 50 year old men,
right,
with kids my kid's age.
Yeah. No, and it's just totally,
like,
yeah,
here I am covered in tattoos, right, wearing like, you know,
what common experience do you have besides, yeah, children?
You like, know,
yeah,
wearing like a death metal t-shirt or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, you know, they don't understand, like, mm-mm, what do you mean? You work with Metallica? Like, what bands? Like, oh, you work with, you know, Johnny Shit and the Dick Bags?
Right.
What is that? You know, like local cover bands? And it's just like,
so yeah, it's to me what you're describing, it sounds like obviously you were in the middle of these two worlds.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I'm not a good juggler. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. It's hard to juggle the two because I am who I am. I mean, it's just like, dude, I'm black t-shirt, camouflage shorts, man. Like, that's just
who I am. That's just what I've done.
I mean, you know, you look at tour pictures from '96 and you look at pictures from last week at the beach. I'm wearing the same shit, man.
Yeah, like, you're like, that's me.
Yeah, it's just who I am, you know. Yeah, and it's like, you know, and like, you know, my wife doesn't come from this world at all. You know, it's always been a joke that like, oh yeah, she's my, you know, my parole officer or some shit. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, but like, just trying to find that balance because, I mean, just because I had a family,
yeah,
and just because I had children, it didn't make me not want to go on tour.
No. Which, you don't shut that side of your like brain off.
Like you I still want to travel. I still want to experience things. I still want to look underneath it all.
Right.
Which is very difficult because, you know, now like this person,
yeah,
is your responsibility. It's not just all about you and your friends anymore.
Right.
And
something greater than yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, and it's like, I will still, I mean, you know, you'd be lying to yourself as a parent and as a person if you didn't struggle with that.
Of course.
Know, like, and I still, I mean, dude, I'm 10 and 5. They've been around for a while.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
You know,
you're kind of used to them.
And dude, like, I mean, I still struggle with the fact that, like, oh my God, like I'm still a young guy. Like,
right.
At least I feel like I am, you know?
Of course.
Like, I still want to go out and experience things, but I want them to come with me, you know? And
You want to experience it as a collective unit, and it's harder when it is a unit and not just yourself.
For sure,
right,
man.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
and it's.
But I think to, you know, the positive aspect of all of that is obviously it's like I view it as this, where it's like we are essentially still the same people we were when we're doing this. We're literally doing the same shit since we were like 15 or 16 years old.
You throw a little kid in the mix,
yeah,
you feel like a piece of garbage,
right?
Because. Here I am. I mean, I had my first kid when I was, you know, 27, 28 years old.
Right.
I'm 37 now, and I'm literally still doing the same thing. I'm probably still wearing the same boxer shorts. You know what I mean?
100%.
While my daughter has learned how to walk, talk.
Yeah.
She's learned how to, you know, do all of these amazing things, and I'm still like, I'm going to Chain Reaction to see, you know, see a band play, you know?
Right.
You know, I'm going to the hardcore show this week, Mom. You know, see you later.
Totally.
And it's just like, it's hard not to, you know, to pull yourself out of that and be like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
When
am I
going to grow up? When am I going to get a real job?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, but then I'm just like.
I
am real, I think.
Right.
You know,
I explain it this way, where we're essentially still kids, but we just do adult-like things.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I think that's very symptomatic of like basically anybody between the ages of like 25 and, you know, late 30s that have experienced like punk rock and independent music, because it's like you do want to forge your own path and be like, yo, I want to make a living off of music.
You know, it's funny you say that because I never thought that was possible.
Right. Well, no, that was never a reality.
It never really was. I mean, again, you know, to backtrack, like it was like I was just hanging out with my friends, man.
Right.
And someone had to be the responsible one.
You're like, otherwise we'll die.
I don't know how they chose me, but you know, God fucking forbid.
Right.
You know, but that just goes to say, I mean, I can't believe someone chose to have children with me either. So, you know, God, it's like, Jesus.
You're able to fool a lot of people, Matt.
I'm a magician. You know? Hey, man, bands think I do cool things for them too. So
right, like, you're like, all I do is just email one person and they book the show.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, ignore the man behind the curtain. You know?
Right.
Yeah, but you know, again, it's just, you know, you throw kids into the mix.
Yeah.
Life changes in a way that no one can ever describe.
No, not at all.
You know, there's no, I mean, you know, like, that's the biggest rock in the world, these people that write children books. You know, it's like, these, like, you know, totally. What to expect when you're expecting? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I mean? Because every situation is different.
Right.
You know,
like, probably 1% of that book will apply to you. 99% you'll throw out.
Yeah. You know, so it's like, who knows, man?
Yeah, totally.
And again, it's like, I mean, just like with music too, no one ever sat me down and said, okay, Matt, here is what we do to like develop this band or make this band the next big thing. You know, no one said, this is how to make your kid respectful and bright. And
yeah,
like, I mean, you can try.
Right.
But it's just like, they have my genes, God forbid.
Right. You know? You're like the A for effort. Yeah. I don't know where they'll go from here.
But I'll tell you, man, and I'm sure, you know. Like, how old you have a?
I have a 16-month-old.
16-month-old.
Yeah. So you're totally
in for it.
Man. I know.
Just wait till your kid tells you to fuck off for the first time. Just wait. You know?
It's such a mind.
Just wait till they tell you, oh, Dad, you broke my heart.
Oh God.
Just wait.
Yeah, gut punches.
But then, you know, there's that time where, you know, like, they're going to be like, Dad, can we listen to the Ramones? Or Dad, can we listen to Pearl Jam? Dad, can we listen to, you know, like, they're singing, you know, singing like a song, and you're just like, you know, I just want my kids to find their way.
Of course.
You know, if I can guide them here and there, that's great, you know, but like,
yeah,
you know, cause it's just like, you know, my 10-year-old is doing 10-year-old things. She's not even 10 yet. I mean, she's only 10 in a couple weeks. But like, you know, she wants to listen to like Justin Bieber, and she wants to listen to like what's on the radio.
Right.
And like, she likes what I listen to in the car. Like,
yeah.
So it's, but it's just like, find your own path, you know, like,
yeah,
find your own way.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, to me, that's the most beautiful thing ever.
Totally.
It's like, I want to be like Johnny Appleseed. I'll plant the seed and we'll see how it grows, you know?
Right, exactly. You'd be like, you know, this is what I'm into, and like, this is cool. And obviously you see that I enjoy it, but you're going to find your own stuff to do.
Yeah, totally.
That's an important part about being,
you know, it was like a really cool thing. And you know, H2O just played the Glass House a couple weeks ago.
And
Toby's one of my closest friends. And, like, we do a lot of cool business stuff together.
Right.
And, you know, he's actually my third child, you know.
Right.
But
I can understand that completely.
I say I have three. I have, you know, a 9.5, a 5-year-old, and a 42-year-old. You know?
That's incredible. But,
you know, his son was there. My kids were there. And they're on the side of the stage watching H2O play, jumping around, dancing. I'm just like, this is so cool, man.
Yeah, you're like, I wish that I had that experience when I was a kid,
you know. And again, I don't want to force feed them,
of course not,
but at the same time, I just want to expose them,
of like, course, yeah. Just exposing them to that, it opens their world up, because 10-year-olds aren't experiencing that.
No, man. And it's like, and again, like, you know, like, I have a lot of friends, a lot of my close friends are in bands, and they are doing cool things within music, and it's just like, you know, my kids don't know that Jake Bannon sings for Converge. They just know that Jake is the dude that lived on the bottom of the street. That's Uncle Jake. They play Voltron together. They play,
right.
You know, Godzilla. Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's the most innocent, beautiful thing about it all.
Totally.
Like, they
totally
don't know these. They don't know that, like, you know,
he's
like
some luminary within the hardcore scene. Who can? Yeah.
They just, you know, they just know that, like, you know,
he's a human.
He's a guy that jump on his head and pull his hair. You know,
right. Like, he's got weird looking tattoos. Yeah, there we go.
You know, I mean, and that's the thing too. My kids aren't going to think that tattoos are weird, because we all their, you know,
yeah,
their
quote unquote
uncles have tattoos.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, but their legitimate uncles have tattoos. My dad, even, we took my dad at 56 years old to go get his first tattoo, you know?
It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's like,
yeah, they just have a wider experience than your average 10-year-old.
And with them,
yeah,
that's all I fucking care about.
Yeah.
I want them to see the world for what it is and take what they want from it.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, you know, I know that, like, my parents did the best they could to give us whatever they could.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if I can take a tenth of what they gave me and give it to my kids. Yeah. And then, you know,
you'll be satisfied.
And dude, that was the other thing about moving from the East to the West. Uh-huh. You know, like so many people were like blown away. Like, oh, you're such an East Coast guy.
Yeah.
Like, fuck no. I want to go to the beach every day. Like, and it's just like, if my kids were a couple years older, that wouldn't even been a thought in my mind. Cause I would never, ever would have turned my daughter's world upside down.
Right. Like, right.
And taken her away from her world. I mean, she still gives me shit now for moving her away from all of her friends.
Right.
But it's just like, you know,
it would have been much more devastating if she was that much older.
Yeah,
like,
for sure, man.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, and I remember like one of the last nights we were in Massachusetts because I moved out first.
Right.
You know, I moved out here at the end of May and they came, she ended school on the 15th of June
and
they flew out afterwards. And I remember sitting in her room and she's like, man, I love our red house. I'm going to miss it here. Like, this is my house. I'm like, I know, but I want you to think of this. And I said, this is a heavy thought for a little kid.
Yeah.
You're going to move to California and something that you're going to have is every day you're going to experience something you've never experienced before.
Yeah.
Whether seeing a tree for the first time or driving down a road you've never driven down or seeing different cultural things, and you need to enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I mean, I could just see her head going,
yeah.
Like her mind just exploded. And she's like, well, I like our red house. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck the red house. We're going to the beach, you know? Like,
that's incredible.
Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I know for sure. And sort of, you know, to wrap things up, it's kind of a two-parter where, one, what was the best rookie mistake that you made, obviously, as a young agent? Because there, I remember as a, like, playing Chain Reaction, and one of the most valuable lessons that I learned was from Ron Martinez,
yep.
Crawl Space Booking.
Yeah, yeah.
He paid me for playing a show. I walked away, and he's like, no, come back here. Count that money in front of me.
Yeah.
Because the moment that you leave, you won't be able, if I shorted you, no one will be able to prove right. anything. And I was like, holy, like you said, your daughter's brain exploded, my brain exploded.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, what was the sort of, you know, funniest rookie mistake that you made? And then like, whatever, you can roll it into the second part of it where, you know, obviously a lot of people ask you for advice in some way, shape or form for young, whatever. Even just from like an entrepreneurial standpoint,
yeah.
Not like, yo, I want to be a booking agent because you obviously have no idea what you're doing from that perspective.
None. I still don't know what I'm doing.
So yeah, best rookie mistake.
I don't know if there's one particular mistake. I mean, but like,
yeah,
you know what? I think the biggest mistake was not taking myself serious. Like not,
okay.
Not like, I don't know, man. It's a hard question, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, I again, going back to like the philosophy of, I never once thought like this was my job. Like,
right.
I never once thought like this is how I'm going to buy my home,
right.
Pay for my kids to go to school.
Like, yeah,
That thought that wasn't, never crossed my mind. Like I was just fucking hanging out.
Right.
Like I knew how to do, you know, one thing, and that was work hard. You mm-hmm. know, I knew how to just work hard, and I knew how to maintain relationships with people.
Sure.
You know, and it's just like, you know, and it's just like, you know, I'm sure, you know, people are like, oh, Matt Pike, he's a fucking asshole. Like,
yeah.
Dude, no, I'm not. I'm just trying to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, like, most days I have a headache, you know? Like,
right.
And it's just like, you know, no one ever held my hand.
Right.
And said, do it this way. And I think too many people have that philosophy of like, well, just do it for me. You know what I mean? Like,
sure,
could you
sure.
imagine being taken
yeah.
and canceling a show because your GPS couldn't find the venue? I mean,
no, yeah.
I mean, could you imagine?
No way.
And it's just like, I mean, that happens. That fucking happens. You know, like, oh, our GPS couldn't find the venue address, so we were late and we couldn't get your phone.
Right.
Dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I mean, I think like, you know, if you're going to be about something, and like, I don't ever want to reflect on mistakes because like, I still need to make mistakes to get better.
Of course. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I, you know, I still make mistakes.
Right.
In 2012, I make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that it makes me a better person, better agent, better business person, you know, whatever
right.
you want to call it. You know, and it's just like, I mean, I guess like, you know, that story you know, that you gave is a perfect example.
Yeah.
That and like, you know, the sheer, with everyday life,
yeah.
the sheer words, thank you, go
yeah.
a long way in this business.
That's very true.
And for me, like, you know, like someone just dropping me a note with like, hey man, thanks. That show was great. Or hey man, you know, like
yeah.
that goes so far.
Right.
You know? And it's just like, you know, like I think my, you know, my regrets come from, not taking myself seriously.
Sure.
Not trying to make more of this, you know, like earlier on.
Yeah.
But again, like I had no idea.
Right.
And I'm not done by any stretch of the imagination. Like,
no.
You know, I'm still like a fifth of the person I want to be, you
right.
know, like business wise, friend wise, family wise, whatever you know, like,
yeah.
Like there is no rule book to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is no rule book to life. I mean,
yeah.
and that's the main thing. Like, I hate that my work has become my life, but like I take this shit fucking personally.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Like this is me. Like, this is like, you know, you tell me my band sucks. I take that shit personally.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah, yeah.
we're out there like fucking working hard.
Yeah. Blood,
you know?
Sweat and tears all over.
And
yeah.
it's just like, you know, I don't want anyone to ever pat me on the back, you know, because anyone can do this in a sense.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's the advice I'll give a young band. Like,
yeah.
You can do this.
Right.
You know, like
whatever you think is stopping you.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like, and it's just like, I mean, young bands, young agents, young promoters, it's like, you know, being humble and working hard. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's
it's
fucking
simple.
It.
Yeah, yeah,
there
yeah.
There is no magic rule book somewhere where, you know, you can be like, oh, hey, so let me see how to write this perfect riff that's going to make me $1 million. It's
right.
not there.
No, it's not.
You know, I mean, you know, new records come out every Tuesday.
Yep.
Think about how many of them fail.
Right, yeah.
Or lose money compared to the ones that make money and sell.
Sure.
But the fact that someone did it, just, you know, it goes a long way.
Yeah. No, totally.
I don't know, man. And it's just like, you know, like people have asked that, like, well, how did you do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, I can't.
How could I not?
Right.
Failure was never an option.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's still not an option.
Right.
And it's just like, dude, surround yourself with good people.
Yeah.
Make good choices. Don't be a fucking asshole.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, you treat people like shit, your existence is going to be shit.
Right.
You know?
Your,
and it's like
your days can be numbered.
There is a separation
mm-hmm.
between a, you know, a legitimate asshole
right.
and being someone that, like, you know, is effective.
Sure.
You know? Why am I an asshole? Because I won't fucking pay your band what you're not worth. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You
sorry.
Know, my band made $50 a show too at one point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, and it's just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
you know?
No. I think you summarized it perfectly. Cause yeah, there above all, there is no, like you said, magic rule book. It's just like you said, how could you not do it? Like
yeah.
nothing is stopping you.
No.
From
any age. Sure. I guess, you know, financially and all
sure.
that stuff. But I mean, dude. We all have been there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like there, you know, there's people I came up with that we would go to the fucking Alston Food Co-op and we'd fucking take the bagels they put out after night just to eat at night. I mean, I know that sounds like extreme
yeah.
or whatever.
Right,
but
that was
our idea of fucking doing it, man.
Yeah.
You know, like we were just like, we're just trying to make the most of what we have.
Of course.
You know,
course.
And it's like, and I don't think people, I mean, God, I'm going to sound so old. But these fucking, like,
these kids.
Yeah,
you know,
these
I mean,
kids.
Like, I mean, dude, it is, I hate to say it, but it is so easy this day and age
sure.
to make people aware of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know?
No one can argue that.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds easy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is. I mean, you can literally go, I mean, think about, like, when you were doing your band
sure,
or any of these,
sure.
you know, kids we came up with, any of the guys that we came up with.
Right.
We had the opportunity to make a SoundCloud page
yeah.
or like a Facebook page or a MySpace page.
Of course.
None of that existed.
Totally.
None of that. I mean, you had
yeah.
to hustle your ass off
yeah.
to get someone to give you a quarter
sure,
for your
sure.
mixtape.
Totally.
You know, for your band's demo tape.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like,
it's a different type of work, but yes, the sheer ease of exposure
yeah
is definitely
well and with that being said, I think kids these days have a disadvantage too because you're overexposed so easily.
Totally
You know,
and there's obviously just because of the ease of getting exposure that there's so much out there that's
oh,
like
yeah
it's tough to
I mean think about how hard you had to hustle to scrape your pennies, nickels and dimes to
yeah.
go into a recording studio
totally
and put out something that sounded like garbage
yeah,
that
yeah,
you
yeah.
were proud of
right
now you can just
yeah
hook some mic ups to your MacBook and
yeah.
dude, here's our demo.
There you go. Enjoy.
Yeah. You
yeah.
know, and it's just like, I mean, hey, God bless technology and where we've come, you know, but like, like kids don't understand, you know, like use what's at your fingertips and make the most of it.
Right. Totally.
You know, like,
yeah, no, that's
I don't know.
It's a very simple thing to say,
yeah.
But
I mean, agree. I don't have like the,
yeah.
You know, the $1 million answer.
Right. You're not going to write your memoir and have, all right, here's the 10 things you need to do to become a successful booking agent.
I can tell you the 10 things not to do, you know?
yeah. Like, you're like, I can have a gigantic list of things that you can't do.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, dude, it's just like, you know, with even going outside of like the music world.
Yeah.
It's basic real life shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's developing relationships, being good to people,
totally.
Working hard. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, I mean, I never wanted to own my own business. I'm an awful business owner.
Yeah.
You know, according to the government, I'm a hobby.
Yeah, you're a hobby.
But
right.
I mean, like, you know, I just know how to do my thing.
And just figure it out on the way.
Exactly. And
yeah,
anyone can do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's being a booking agency, whether it's starting like a self-publishing book company, a t-shirt company, whatever you want to do. And that's the thing, man, where, you know, I've prided myself with surrounding myself with people like that.
Yeah.
Which is important too, you know, because
totally.
It's just like, I mean, if you're in a negative environment, you know, you're going to get negativity from it. But if you're going to put yourself in a situation where, you know, there's positive forward thinking people, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be music related.
Yeah.
But, you know, business related or even life related, like, it's like, yo, how did you get through this? You know,
right.
How did you set up your company legally? You know, how did you do? I mean, just simple things like that. And it's just like, yeah, man, this is how I did it. Okay,
right.
Cool, thanks. You
people,
know, it's
one
one last thing I have to think about.
Right, exactly.
You know?
No, that's, I think that that is a perfect place to end things on that.
Well, good.
good. Well, thank you for obviously wanting to hang out and do this.
Man,
and
thanks for thinking of me. I'm always blown away when someone thinks that I have anything valid to say.
Well, I think you have something valid to say. So maybe stop selling yourself short, right?
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
There you go. Hope you dug the interview. Sorry, this one was a little long, but, you know, you get to talk, and that's how it goes. Anyways, visit propertyofzach.com and 100wordspodcast.com for more awesome content. And, I'll see you next week. Thanks.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time. Every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.